And finally, it's time for our Wisdom Watch. It's the part of the program where we talk to people who've made a difference through their work and set an example for others by how they've lived their lives. Today, Madeleine Cunin. She is the former governor of Vermont. She's the only woman ever to serve in that post, and she won that office at a time when many qualified women could not break through the glass ceiling of executive leadership. And after leading her state, she took her skills to the international arena as the ambassador to Switzerland. Now, as a professor, she's inspiring a whole new generation of women to get involved in public service. Her latest book is Pearls, Politics and Power, How Women Can Win and Lead, and she's with us now. Governor, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you. Now, pleasure.
Thank you. Now, we've been talking about that whole drama in Illinois, but there was another drama around a vacant Senate seat. That was about the New York seat. And New York Governor David Patterson recently appointed Congresswoman Kirsten Gillibrand to that seat. But there was this whole dialogue around whether Caroline Kennedy, who did want that seat, took herself in and took herself out of. And there was a lot of conversation around her and whether the way she was treated in this process says something about the status of women in public life today. How did you read that?
Well, I think the good news is that Kirsten Gillibrand was appointed, and you have a woman filling Hillary Clinton's seat, and there are only 17 women in the United States Senate. The bad news is I think it was at the expense of Caroline Kennedy's reputation. I think she was very badly treated. And I think there is a double standard. You know, what is qualified? I mean, she's a woman who's written books. She's volunteered. She's got a, you know, intense dedication to public service as part of the Kennedy family. To me, those are pretty good qualifications. And it forces you to ask, if she'd been a man, would it have been different?
Well, some people would argue that if she had been a man, she wouldn't have been considered to begin with, because if she had been a man who had that kind of resume, people would have thought she was unserious or he was unserious. What do you say to that?
I don't think so. I really don't, because we make certain assumptions that men are more qualified simply because there are more of them out there. And I think we are tougher on women, and women do lead different lives. You know, a lot of women do want to, if they can afford to, and that's not everybody, but spend part of their time raising their children. And that doesn't mean they have no experiences. They have experiences in the community, which are very valid for politics. You know, if you volunteer in the schools, if you volunteer in your community, you learn a lot and you have a lot of connections, which are just as valuable as a typical male resume.
And on those same lines, much of it was made of the fact that the new senator, Congresswoman now, Senator Gillibrand, took one of her children to the doctor shortly after attending the press conference announcing her appointment. Now, some people said, you know, bravo her for being honest about the fact that this is part of life. Other people, for some people, this was a little uncomfortable because it recalled a lot of the discussion around Sarah Palin and whether vice presidential nominee Sarah Palin and people asking her whether she could really juggle those responsibilities.
I know. You know, there's a recent study about leadership and leadership in science that I saw, and a vast majority of the men who are in science have kids, have families. A lot of the women either have very few children or no children or not married. So we are still making demands on women which are not fair. You know, should you have no kids? Should you have to be single? I think that would be bad for democracy. I mean, we need women in politics who are more like us, who understand what a working woman's life is like. So I think the fact that Kirsten Gillibrand brought her child to the doctor gives her an insight on real life that a man who's never brought his kid to the doctor may not have.
Do you mind if I ask you how you did it? You had
four
children.
I don't know, you know. I had four children, but I did it gradually. My husband was a help. But, you know, when I first ran, I ran for the Vermont legislature, which is a citizen part-time legislature. And then my kids grew up as I grew up the ladder. By the time I was governor, three of my children were in college and one was in high school. So, you know, you adapt, you change, you juggle. It's never simple. You feel some guilt, but then you feel the passion of public service. And I think overall my children probably benefited, though, then, you know, I missed some softball games. There's no doubt about that.
Did they ever guilt trip you?
Sure. But,
Mom, you
know, you
care more
say,
about these other kids than you do about me.
No, don't go, you know. But I'm happy to say, you know, every parent worries how their children are going to grow up and whether they're going to make it in life. And I'm happy to say that they seem to have made it in life and seem to be productive citizens. Now, you know, whether my being in politics had anything to do with that, I don't know. But I'm happy it turned out well.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with the former governor of Vermont, Madeleine Cunin, about her latest book, Pearls, Politics, and Power. It's available in major bookstores. Now, how did you catch the politics bug? Why did you want to be in politics?
Well, you know, there are a couple of reasons. There were issues in the 70s when I first ran that grabbed me. One was the women's movement and the ratification of the Equal Rights Amendment. And the other was the environmental movement, which is very big in Vermont. And there was also an empty seat. But I've always been interested, but I'd never thought of myself as a politician until the women's movement said, hey, you can do this. You know, you can get out there. And then, you know, on a deeper level, you know, I was born in Switzerland. I came to the United States as a child at the outbreak of World War II, couldn't speak English. And, you know, just like Barack Obama is telling people today, my mother told me anything is possible. Anything is possible in America. And I think, you know, we believed in the American dream. And I think you need some of that optimism to want to take the risk of getting involved in politics. And my dream right now is that a whole new generation of young people will believe in that dream once again. And President Obama is really trying to demonstrate that it is possible to create change and that you have a responsibility to create change.
The Brookings Institution published a monograph last year that suggested that when women actually do put themselves forward for public service, they do as well as men do, but that they don't put themselves forward as often. They don't think of it as often. They don't see themselves. You just said, I didn't see myself that way. Why
right.
is that? And what could change that?
Well, that's the hardest question to answer and that I explore in my book. Women do get involved in their communities. They volunteer. They do all kinds of good deeds. But there seems to be a threshold that you have to climb over to get in politics. One is that women underestimate their own abilities. You know, a man will wake up in the morning, look in the mirror and say, I could run for the United States Senate. A woman will look in the mirror and say, I've got to take three more courses before I run for school board. They're very hard on themselves. Another thing that's been discovered is that women more than men need to be asked to run. There still seems to be something, you know, kind of pushy about promoting yourself. And then I finally think women don't know that you can actually get something done in the political system. And if there's been any doubt about that this last week, I think of a flurry of activities from the White House shows you that people can make a difference. You don't have to be president of the United States to make that difference. You can make that difference on your local city council and your state legislature. Where it gets tougher for women, I mean, women are equal in terms of getting elected when the races are similar. What we haven't succeeded yet, of course, is the presidency, where the bar, I believe, still is somewhat higher and even different.
Were you very disappointed that Senator Clinton, now Secretary of State Clinton, didn't make it?
Yes, I was, because I'd hoped to see the first woman president of the United States. But I recovered pretty quickly because I also could see the historic event of the first African-American, and not just any African-American, but that this man, Barack Obama, really is extraordinary. And so I became very enthusiastic about his candidacy. And now I think we can all take great satisfaction in that both President Obama and Secretary Clinton had the stature, the you know, qualities of character to say the past is past. We're going to work together for the United States of America to improve our situation in the world. So I think it's a great day for both of these people.
Do you have any wisdom to share with us?
Well, my only wisdom would be is go for it. Take the risk. Yes, it's tough. I don't want to gloss over, you know, the reality of politics. It can be nasty. It can invade your privacy. But it also can be exhilarating. It's a great way to live, to feel that you can have some impact on the life around you. And I also feel, you know, that many more people are qualified to do this than we think they are, that there's not one resume for political participation. In fact, in a democracy, you don't want one resume. You want everybody to participate. And the fact that women are so low in our numbers in the United States compared to other countries, I think weakens our democracy. And the more women and other people who aren't out there, that includes, you know, minorities, in proportion to our population, it deprives all of us of a vibrant democracy that reflects who the American people are.
What's next for you? What are you excited about these days?
Well, I'm trying to inspire people to run by talking about my book. I'm teaching, and I'm mulling over the possibility of writing another book to answer more deeply the questions you asked. Why aren't women there in proportion to the population when, believe it or not, Iraq and Afghanistan have more women in their parliaments today? We're at 17%. Iraq and Afghanistan are 25 and 27%. And in those countries, as you know, you not only risk your reputation, you risk your life. So my passion is still to encourage people to participate and for me to continue to use my voice, either verbally or in writing.
We only have a minute left, and I still keep going back to the whole question of taking care of the family. And I still keep going back to the question of that Sarah Palin was forced to answer about whether, you know, with her children, whether she was doing right by them and running, and a question which was never asked of her running mate who has seven children. And I wonder if that's ever going to change. And what would make that change?
I think slowly it's changing. I mean, Sarah Palin did do one thing. She brought her children out into the limelight. Now, she got some criticism for that, but she also got people used to the idea, yeah, women have children, and women who have children can serve in public life. So, you know, when I first ran for the legislature in Vermont, we debated whether to put a family photo in the brochure, because if you had kids, somebody would say, who's taking care of your children? Wow. What are you doing out here? So I think Sarah Palin, even though we may disagree politically, I give her credit for saying this is the way it is.
All right. This is the way it is. Madeline Kunin, the former governor of Vermont. Her latest book is Pearls, Politics, and Power. She was kind enough to join me from Vermont Public Radio in Burlington. Governor, thank you so much.
Thank you, Michelle.
And that's our program for today. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Let's talk more tomorrow.